Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Medicine Bundle. I appreciate you listening in, and I want to wish you all a good weekend and stay cool if you're in the Twin Cities, Minnesota area. It looks like we're going to have some extreme heat, so please stay hydrated and stay indoors and take care of one another. I'll see you next week. Giga Wobbleman.
You're listening to 90.3 KFAI FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, online and archived at kfai.org.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hit me cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, I want to get our friend on here, Angie Vig, and talk a little bit of what's been going on this past week. Thank you so much for stopping in, Angie. Talk a little bit about Rock the Res, and it sounded like, and I saw videos and pictures, it sounded like it was really happening.
I wish I could really describe how it was. It was the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life. Oh my gosh, those little girls are so adorable, and they're very just like, they, you know, they're really motivated and they were into it. I think there are 17 campers this year. And I guess last year was the first time they added the Twin Cities to one of the camps. I'll talk about it for a second about Rock the Res. Mm-hmm. So they are a Native girls camp. It's a week long. It's a day camp. They pick the girls up every day, or they get dropped off every day, and then they drop them off every day or get picked up every day. So they're there for about 8 hours. And they pick an instrument right away and what they want to learn through the week, because at the end of the week, then they're going to perform. And they all choose their bandmates, and they have a day to decide if that's the instrument for them or not. They can switch it up. And so there was piano, drums, guitar, bass, and singers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little one who's, oh my gosh, the cutest little girl you've ever seen in your life. And she chose guitar. And yeah, the guitar was bigger than her. It was so fun. And then in between learning the instrument, then they would have like activities and group activities, and they had like artwork and just everything to express themselves. They had nice big circles to talk and communicate, and what a wonderful experience for them. And I was able to pop in and out most days. But what was really great is me having a store, my guitar shop. Mm-hmm. The whole month of July, I was able to do a donation drive for them for instruments and everything that goes along with having a band, making a band. And just so many of my wonderful customers and friends came in with guitars and amplifiers and PA systems and wow, so many cables, and everything that you would need, and even a set of congas with a stand, and just so much stuff. We couldn't believe how much stuff came in for them. And if some stuff wasn't working quite right, well, we're the place to fix it. So we were able to fix them up real quick and bring them all over. And they had more than enough. I think we brought over like 13 guitars and basses and about 8 amps, I think. And that's a lot. I was so touched by how many people just really wanted to contribute to this. And so
it's so important too, because rock and roll has been known basically as a male dominant genre, and it's so cool to have the support. I know things have changed over the years, but still to have the support for the young women is just so amazing, and amazing to all your customers. That's the story right there too.
I was just so moved by that. I wasn't surprised, but it was still really like all this stuff kept coming in. And then one day I did a workshop on how to take care of your guitars, why you have to take care of them. And they were really interested in that. I told them about running a shop. I told them about how they should be treated when they go into a store. And because when I got my first guitar, I wasn't treated very well, and I was sold a cheapy guitar that hurt my hands, so I stopped playing. But you know, just stuff like that. And then I taught them that about the school that's in Red Wing that offers the guitar building program and fixing, so they can make a career out of it, and they can work anywhere in the country with that skill, with that trade. And they were really interested in all that. And then we had them all draw a guitar. And it was the best. I'll be posting pictures of all the posters that they made.
That's great.
Some of them are awesome designs. I'm like, you got something here. And so artistic. And we couldn't really post pictures. We can do it through the site, but you know, because they're all underage, that we couldn't really just post pictures of them. I wanted to, because it was so dang cute and just so funny. It's funny watching them. And there is originally 3 bands that they made, but they got into, some of them got into a fight, not a fight, but they were getting along. So they branched out and they went rogue, and they made a whole nother band called the Oompa Loompas.
Cute.
True musicians. You're already band. You're band people. You fought. That's awesome. I mean, fought, you know.
Right. Well, the Beatles fought, you know, that's a part of the deal. Who else besides Angie Vega, Big Guitars, was there helping out?
Oh, man. Christine. Christine was there from Christine Bartizal. She taught guitar. She was originally going to teach drums, but then the person who was going to teach drums couldn't do it. So then they're like, hey, can you switch to guitar? And she's okay. So she had quite the experience. It'd be fun to talk to her about it. She did great with those girls, and they listened, and they were so, you know, she was very thorough, and it was just great. And she was such a great coach. Erin McCauley from Harrison Street. She did a workshop on songwriting one day. And then Jada Brown. She did the voice, the vocal part of it, and taught that. And then, you know, so then she was one of the band coaches, and I can't remember who else. There's some people I didn't know. And and then there was a packed house on Friday for the performance. Like, all the parents came. And it was so fun. And you know how drummers start off with, you know, click. Yeah. And then it was like, it was just so cute, because it was like, wow, you know, they're going to really jam. And it was, it was really fun. And they, you know, they did it, and they were great. And they're going to have an opportunity to open up for one of the bands at Powderhorn Porch Festival in September.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Someone from the organization came and and said, we would like you all to be able to do that. So they're going to get together again before that and practice. Because they were able to record then in the studio.
Wow.
Yeah, really what a cool. big deal, right?
That is a big deal. Do you know of, you said that this is the first year in Minnesota. Where else do they do this Rock the Res?
Well, this was the second year. Last year was the first year. And that's when I think I told you last time I found out about it too late because I was like, how come I don't know about this? And so I just whipped up some stuff and brought it over there. And I'm like, I really want to be involved. And so it was their second. So they started out 10 years ago just in Pine Ridge. And then they branched out to Rosebud and I can't remember the other one. But then... And they decided to, they're able to branch out to Twin Cities. And then I think they're having a quick stop in Denver for something. And then, but then the next one is in Bemidji. So they branched out to Bemidji now.
Wow.
So it's growing.
Hey, we're here with Angie Big of Big Guitars talking about Rock the Res. And we're going to take a quick break. This is Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands and to the nations...
Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot. Hey, and we're here with Angie Big of Big Guitars, and we were just talking about some really awesome things happening here. But Rock the Res, it sounds like a beautiful thing, and that was a week-long camp for Native girls to learn rock and roll. And so let's finish up on that and then talk a little bit about your store. But what else do you have? What else were you thinking about feeling after seeing these young ones really get into it and the posters, the breakup of the band and the together the band and all those fun things?
It was just totally rock and roll. It was so incredible. I love that it's growing because the organizers, they said that it was the first, that it was quite a bit more than they had last year. So that's really good. And, you know, they take donations all year long. If you go to their website, I think it's just rocktheres.com. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. But they have this like booklet, you know, and then they have like chords in there and then the drum. Well, I don't know anything about drums, but the chord chart for drums, except it's probably not called the chord chart, obviously.
Left the score, left, right, left, paradiddle, all those things.
The X's, all that. Yeah. Yep. And some of them were just really into it. And so there was a couple of them that were super shy. And, it really brought them out, you know, and that was the thing is they just want these girls to find their voice and just to not be afraid of coming out of your shell and you can do anything and you can play music and do what, you know, do what everybody else does and what a great opportunity. And I was really happy to help out with this a little bit, you know.
That's amazing. And you talked a little bit about Red Wing where they have a instrument repair class? Is that what you said?
Sure. Yeah. So in Red Wing, it's Minnesota State College. I think that's what it's called. Mm-hmm. And there's a guitar building and repair program there. And also they have a section for like violins and stringed instruments like that. It's a two-year program, and so that is only one of three, maybe four schools in the whole country.
Right.
And Red Wing.
Yeah, that's amazing. And brass instruments, too, because I know somebody, because I've taken my horn in to get repaired, and that talked about that. So that's interesting that you brought that up, and it's still out there, and it's there's still a need to repair all instruments.
As with any trade, that I mean, everybody has to get into trades, and that's a really good one to get into too, because it's very, very niche. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Going into how to make a career out of that is, you know, like all of my repair people, they're called luthiers. A luthier is one who makes and repairs stringed instruments, and all of them, and Ted and everybody, they all went to that school, all graduated. And you know, you learn a lot there, but you know, as with everything, you learn mostly just by instrument, job after job after job after job.
Right.
And so we all have the certified luthiers from there. It's a great school.
That's awesome. So let's talk about Big Guitars, and it's owned by Angie Vega, a White Earth Ojibwe, and you win awards. You're in first or second place of the best guitar fix-up shop in the Twin Cities, so that's always something cool to hang your hat on.
yeah, one silver this year. That's awesome. Three golds, three silvers since they started the contest. So I always strive to place somewhere, you know. We're right in the Midway area of St. Paul. We're on Snelling and Thomas, and we're closed on Sundays, but we're open every day. We sell a lot of new and used instruments, and but our specialty, of course, is we're the largest repair shop in Minnesota, and then we have custom hand-owned pickups, and those are the components you see in the guitars, and they differentiate everybody's sounds from one guitar to another. Everybody's looking for their own sound, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And also too, I know you you're at powwows personally. You and your husband do the powwow scene every once in a while, and Big Guitars has a nice little gift shop too.
Yeah, so I also make jewelry.
Yes.
And beaded jewelry, and I have like all these just cool accessories and stuff that I indigenize, that's what I call it. I'll rip chains off, and you know, I'll get old pieces and I'll rip the chains off and beat them up. And then so it's a nice little thing to sell jewelry here too. I got my own little spot area. Anybody swing by anytime, even if you're not into instruments. I'm gonna put a guitar in your hand anyway, and I'm gonna make you strum.
Yeah, there you go. What name some of the people that we would know that have come into your shop that are famous or somewhat famous. Let's hear that list.
I think the first one was Joe Bonamassa, excellent blues guitarist. He says he has a problem with buying guitars, and he buys so many guitars. He's really into the vintage guitar market. And he comes around. He'll be here in a couple weeks. So him and Warren Haynes are going to be at Treasure Island. So I'm going to tell them, make sure and stop by. Don't forget to stop by, because, you know, they make their rounds when they come to town. Wes Studi came a couple of years ago.
Wow.
He was in that play at the Guthrie.
Yeah.
And so I invited him because I knew he was a musician, and he came. I couldn't believe it. So that was so fun. And we even got to jam together. And there's a video on YouTube with that I have on our site. And that was really fun. He's really nice, and he's such a good musician. And then most recently, Jesse Wells came. And I don't know if you know him. He is such a great songwriter. He's kind of like this generation's Bob Dylan and Neil Young. He writes, he's very political. If you look up his stuff, he's very political. He writes about really important things. And he was playing at Harriet Island for some festival. And I had reached out and messaged him, and he didn't see it, but he had just Googled and and came. So I was so happy to see him. I know. And and he loved Ted's pickup so much. He bought a guitar that had Ted's pickups in it. And he loved it so much that he ordered some more pickups. Cool. And then like a couple days later, he ordered more. And he sent us a picture of him on stage in New York with the Gibson SG he was playing. And it had Ted's pickup in it.
That is very cool. That is very cool. I know at the fair, and that's coming up, that Sokoa and Gary Farmer are going to be in town too, playing at the West End Market right behind our store at Native Roots Arts at the State Fair and the West End Market. And that's always a full-time, or there's always many people in the audience watching the music. It's always full.
Oh, well, it's such a great spot. Do you, and then you'll be interviewing him, I suppose, huh?
Yeah, definitely. We'll try and get them before that too, so they promote it, that people come on down, because sometimes they sneak in at the fair and we don't know it. And somebody let me know from the fair that they were going to be there, because I said you should have these guys here, you know, and because they're always looking for acts, and believe it or not, they took my advice.
For sure, good. Oh, that's awesome. That's going to be fun. People are going to love them.
Yeah. Are you coming down for Indigenous Peoples Day on the 30th of August?
I think so. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure. I serve on a couple boards, and one of them is the Minnesota American Indian Chamber of Commerce.
Oh.
And I think we're going to have a table there that day, you know, in the area with all the tents and all the tables. And so I think we all are going to volunteer a little bit, and I guess it just depends how hot it is. Hopefully it won't be too hot, but I'll probably be down there for that.
Yeah, well, there's some music going to be played, and I know Sean Sherman and people will be speaking, and the Circle Magazine will be down there too, tabling too, handing out a special edition Circle Magazine. So we're still getting ads for that. So if you know anybody that wants to put an ad in the special edition of the State Fair Back to School Fair Edition, let me know, Angie.
Sure. I just updated my subscription.
Yes, right on.
Congratulations on getting that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Really good medicine. Angie, we got like a minute left here. Can you just let everybody know again how they can find you and where, and maybe your Facebook and website?
All the social medias.
Yes.
Yeah, we're at 595 Snelling Avenue North in St. Paul in the Midway area. And you can find us on the Facebook and Instagram and TikTok, Vig Guitars, and then our website is vigguitarshop.com. Sorry I couldn't be in the store. We got all these people trying out amplifiers in there, so it's really loud.
Oh, wow. I appreciate you stopping in and give us a great update on Rock the Res. And again, stop in at Vig Guitars here when you're in Minnesota, right on Snelling Avenue. Really easy to get to, right across Thomas, Snelling and Thomas. Thank you so much, Angie. Good to see you. We'll see you soon. Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
Support for KFAI comes from the Landmark Center, presenting Music on the Cortile. Free live musical performances taking place over five Thursday lunch hours from June 26th through August 20th.
Thursday, August 20th, Ani XO takes the stage. Ani XO's music is a blend of folk stylings and alternative songwriting to convey the struggles of youth in a postmodern landscape.
The noon to 1 p.m. concert is free and open to the public. You're invited to bring your lunch and enjoy the show.
More information about Ani XO live at the Musser Cortile is available at landmarkcenter.org.
Hey, Victor, you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, I'm here with Misko, and there's a lot going on, but we really want to talk about this. Hennepin County and Leech Lake band members here in the Twin Cities, Our Voices, Our Future. Join us on August 8th at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and they have barbecue lunches, guest speakers, door prizes, and they're located at the LLBO Twin Cities office, and that's on 2438 27th Avenue South. So this is open to everybody, but we're really shouting out too to our Leech Lake relatives out there, Misko.
Yeah, super excited to see, you know, more organizations and tribal entities getting involved and getting our community, and not even just their tribal members, but anyone in the area to come down, get interested in voting. They're going to have tribal council and other community leaders speaking at their event, and it sounds like a really fun event with door prizes and a barbecue.
Yeah, definitely. I've always wanted to win a door. And then also they're going to have a ride to the polls from August 8th and 9th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on both those dates. So you can grab a barbecue sandwich and go vote. And why don't we got some information sent to us from our relatives in Leech Lake. Misko, why don't we play that real quick?
Attention Hennepin County Leech Lake band members. The Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe presents Our Voices, Our Future. Join us on Saturday, August 8th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Barbecue luncheon, guest speakers, and door prizes. Located at the LLBO Twin Cities office, 2438 27th Avenue South, Minneapolis. Need a ride to the polls? Rides are available to the polls on August 8th and 9th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Text for ride at 218-402-5003. Include name and address. Please vote in the Minnesota primary election. Miigwech.
Right on. Wow, that's awesome. Great on them. And again, that's, you know, the tribe stepping up, Our Voices, Our Future, you know, and we need more tribes to do this too. So shout out to Leech Lake. That's really awesome. And glad we could help promote that. And we'll talk about it tomorrow too, because it's coming up this this weekend. Misko, you know, making it easy for us to vote is what it's all about. And I think that's why everybody's talking about, you know, voting early. So people, you can help people get to the polls and all those things that really are going to help bring out the vote and really do that in a good way.
Yeah, and one thing that our guests on the show always mention is having a plan to vote. And so ever since they said that, ever since we start talking about it, it gets me thinking. Then I'm like, oh, where's my local, you know, polling place? You know, how do I register? And then it gets me, once I do that, it gets me excited to get other people and my family. Hey, what's your plan? Do you know the location of the polling place near you? And just look it up and find out. And I really appreciate all the guests we have on here. And events like this one at the Leech Lake Band office, having an event to raise awareness and talk about this. So excited.
Yeah, what a cool poster, too. Whoever designed that, I got to give you a shout-out, too. We got the flowers and, of course, Leech Lake's logo in the O in Voices. That's pretty cool. You know, we talk about that. We want to engage people, and it's so good that, again, Leech Lake reached out to us to really promote this for them, and we're honored to do that. And I know there's quite a few members in the Twin Cities. I think I heard something like 3,500 members that are in the Twin Cities from Leech Lake. And I know I just have to give my son-in-law, Mike, a quick shout out. He is a Leech Lake member too. So good one on you and your family. And our grandkids too are Leech Lakers and Ho-Chunk. So we'll have to get them both names too. So Ho-Chunk name and an Ojibwe name.
That's for sure.
I mean, that you thought that was pretty funny.
No, I was looking up how many natives are in the Twin Cities, and I was just gonna say again, it's super important that Leech Lake is having this event, and I really do encourage other tribal entities, whether in state or out of state, because I'm enrolled in Wisconsin, but it's nice to for like even in Wisconsin, if they have urban natives, if they have you know, urban offices for tribal members. I wish there was a, you know, Wisconsin urban office here, because there are some Wisconsin natives over here. And again, it's great that Leech Lake is extending their welcome to other people in the community to come to their event and, you know, listen to these speakers, listen to tribal members, tribal leaders talk about why voting is important.
Yeah, it's amazing too. And one of the things that we have talked about here in Native Roots Radio is that in Minneapolis specifically, there's over 75,000 Native Americans living in Minneapolis. And that information was received from Minneapolis Public Schools and over 111 different tribes. So we have a big urban footprint here in the Twin Cities. And we know there. Both of us working or going to school in St. Paul, that there's quite a few Native Americans in St. Paul, too, and in the Twin Cities and the whole state, for that matter.
Yeah, and I kind of just want to touch base on why voting matters specifically for Native communities. For many Native communities, voting is a way to ensure Indigenous voices are represented. And that tribal nations and Native people, we have participation in the influence and issues that are happening at, you know, a higher level. And so when you vote, you're voting to protect your tribal sovereignty, Indian health service and Native health care funding, also education and language revitalization programs, treaty rights, natural resource and water protection, MMIW, missing murdered Indigenous women and relatives initiatives, infrastructure and access to tribal communities, federal and state funding for Native programs. And so when you vote, these are who you're choosing to represent you in higher levels of power. And, you know, there are Native people running for office. There's people in our own communities that have grew up in our communities that we should, I'd say, support, because, you know, you are voting for who's going to represent you in rooms where maybe you would never step foot in. But if we support one another and, you know, we try to educate ourselves about things and we learn about bills and laws, voting is one of the simplest things we can do. And we there's things like the Leech Lake Band Office trying to make it accessible to know who you're voting for, what you're voting for, and why it's important to vote.
Yeah, and I'm wearing, and people that are watching us will know this, but I'm wearing a Make Voting a Tradition shirt. And I know two cycles ago, there were groups here signing up brand new voters up north. And we're talking about the Bemidji area and things like that area. And there were 9,000 new Native Americans that had never voted before that were signed up to vote. And that's huge. That's that can turn elections. That can do things in a powerful way. So everyone, you know, hands on deck. It's really cool. You know, and you'll feel better. You won't be able to complain. Go out and vote and rock the vote Native style. That's what I like to say. Misko.
Oh.
Exactly. Well, hey, it was good to have Angie Vig on earlier. Really a great store, you know, in what she does for the community. And again, she did the Rock the Res, and all her clientele brought in things for these young women, young girls to play guitars. And that's just a meaningful thing, because music, especially when you're young, gives you self-esteem. It makes you think better. Reading music, repetition, all those things that that music helps, and it also helps build communities. And whether you're in a band or whether you really support a band, you're part of the community of the band that you are supporting. And I know we all have different music tastes, and I want to give Rock the Rez a big shout out. And I know, Misko, you did a little blurb on the Circle about that too. If anybody wants to go read Misko's article, it's on the circlenews.org.
Yeah, I really, again, just want to give Rock the Rez and Angie Vig their flowers. As a young Indigenous person, when I was younger, it was really important for my identity to form within those kinds of circles. Just being like, I just want to say it's really important to foster Native youth creativity, because that is how they express themselves. You know, a lot of times we grow up in households where it's hard and we don't have an outlet, and a lot of people turn to, you know, negative things as their outlet. But if we foster Native youth creativity, culture, and then we just give them a community to rely on, it's something that they can look forward to, something they can nurture and build within themselves. And when listening to Vig talk, I was like, is there a program like this for me right now? Because I would so love to go. And I'm just grateful that, you know, there's programs like that for the youth and for young girls to feel welcome and to communities such as music.
Well, I think in your spare time, we should produce Rock the Rez adult style. That would be really fun.
Heck yeah. I can't sing, but I can kind of strum a guitar. I think that'd be really fun.
I've seen you play the piano too.
You know what? I need to get back into it, and we should go to Angie Big Guitars.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Hey, thanks, Misko. Up next, we're going to have a best of from Wendy. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll see you all tomorrow. And I'm excited, too. We're going to have our friend Thomas from Smoke Signals on next week, and that's for sure on Tuesday. So we want to just give that to everybody, let everybody know that. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be back right after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-a.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and we're excited to have our friend Ruth Anna Buffalo on here, CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, and always such a pleasure to have you on and get updates on what's going on with this great organization. Thank you so much, Ruth, for coming on.
Yes. Hi, Brosha and Madzagadads. Thanks for having MIWRC on.
Right on. Hey, tell us, give us some updates here. What's happening? I know you're right in the middle of, helping our community that really needs help there in Minneapolis. So I just want to give you your flowers and a shout out to Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. So a lot going on. That's fill us in.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. We are now in the month of August, and let's see, today's Wednesday, so we just had our monthly Boshki Gakia tenant meeting. We meet monthly. The tenants have a wellness incentive program that they're a part of, and we're encouraging tenants to go to as much wellness activities as possible, including Wellbriety and AANA meetings in the community, and we'll provide transportation. We also have a Wellbriety meeting held on site every other Friday. It switches every Friday with the Native Survivors Empowerment Group. We have Tuesday Resource Connect every week. Service providers come on site. We provide breakfast and lunch, and that's from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. We have strengthened our partnership with Involve Minnesota. They had delivered meals to the Emergency Warming Center 2 years ago, and so now we are strengthening that partnership through expanding lunch. And so we will be starting to offer lunch tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. It'll be delivered at 11 a.m. each day. And we're, we'll get to the point where we'll be serving. It's home-cooked meals, and right now it's individually packaged. But so that's something that's kind of new. We have a moccasin-making class right now. It's the second session. Yeah, it's the second session of the entire, like, of the throughout the summer. Very popular, and so this session is third. We're on the third day of the second class being offered this summer. Pretty popular, and we're really thankful for our community collaborations, for sure.
That's awesome. You know, and I know by visiting with you down there, there's so many great things, and, you know, moccasins. I know you did ledger art and all these things that are really... put community together and feel like community. So it's just, I smile when I hear moccasins and I'm thinking, hey, I got a size 11. No, I just
yeah, and I believe they're woodland style. So it's pretty cool to have all the different styles come through. They haven't yet, nobody has requested high top moccasins yet. So I'm not volunteering. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
You'll have to get a pair when you play basketball, Ruth Anna.
I learned how to I learned how to make high top moccasins when I was at United Tribes Technical College, but it's been a while.
That's very cool. What before I forget, I want people to know how they can find out more information and how they can support Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center.
Sure. Our website is miwrc.org. And then we have our social media pages. Facebook is all in caps or capital letters, MIWRC. And then Instagram is MPLS, MIWRC.
Very cool. So I hate to say this, but the summer seems like it's winding down here. What else is happening in the future of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center?
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's a lot of things cooking, potentially more programming and services being offered. We're thankful to have a pretty good partnership with Metro State Interns. I think we're on our third cohort right now. They're bachelors of social work students. We have an IPTF youth intern right now. We are going to be launching a community wellness program. Have a lot of different projects that will fall underneath that community wellness umbrella. Prevention, like tobacco cessation, healthy brain health, a whole bunch of other things that are like dental, just the all encompassing. We still have Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Healing through cultural crafting. And then every other Monday, culture night. And then sweat lodge ceremony is once a month, usually towards the end of the month. And then various independent entities host meetings here in the gym or the community room. There's just a ceremony held there over the weekend. Wakes and funerals are held here too. But yeah, we have some new programming and more services on the way, just working out the kinks right now.
I just have to say, Wendy, that's an amazing list.
Yeah, it really is. It's everything. It's like your body, your mental health. Yeah, it's everything.
Wow.
Do you get a good turnout, Ruth, for these services that you provide? Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I believe so. We were also, I'm looking out the window here, and you can see the playground, and it's kind of outdated, and we were gonna remove it and donate it to maybe rural tribal community or urban tribal community, but one of the projects in the works is focusing on families, so we're going to keep it. But we may, you know, get it upgraded. We're like, well, maybe if we get rid of it, we can turn it into a big basketball, outdoor basketball court or something. But it's going to stay, so we'll have to wait on the basketball court, but maybe the roof. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, we get good turnout for sure. We have seasonal feasts and giveaways. Because of Metro Surge, we still have a donation room, room 118. So we're also a donation resource hub, and it's still continuing. Lots of non-perishable items, feminine products, Pampers. But our clothing supply is low, so if anybody would like to donate barely used clothing, we'll take it. We have a lot of people who, you know, are still in need, and yeah, we serve everyone, families, children, you know, individuals, and the entire community.
Well, I was like hoping that I would lose weight so I could fit into those jeans. Maybe I should.
He's saving his jeans in case, for a miracle. You know. But maybe I'll sneak into the closet and get up a box to bring over with Robert's skinny jeans in them.
Bell bottoms. Came in.
Believe me, I have
stuff
in my closet too.
I just say. Well, bell bottoms are back, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they come and go. Yeah.
You always, yeah.
Yeah, it depends on your look. So, yeah, again, just amazing work that Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center does, and it's just great. Give a shout out to our daughter Jaleesa working with you. That's so cool. Yeah. And she has nothing but flowers to give of the great work that you do specifically, but of course the organization.
Yeah, if people have donations, Ruth, can they just come down and drop them off? Is there a great?
Yes. Yep. Come to the front desk. Well, the front north main entrance is like a kind of like a security checkpoint too, so you can check in with security first and then come in and fill out an in-kind donation form. But we have some regulars that we're really thankful for who continue to donate on a regular basis, clothing drop-offs and various items, so we're super thankful, and you know, especially for the ongoing support. But yes, just stop by.
It's fantastic to know.
That is fantastic. And then our producer just put up here too, Minnesota Indian Resource Center, 2300 15th Avenue South, Minneapolis, and 612-728-2000. Great job, Nisco, for putting that up. Oh, there was silence there for a second. So any last words, Ruth Anna?
No. We try to keep our website up to date. In our socials, but yeah, a lot of us wear multiple hats, so appreciate everybody's patience, you know, when we try to get back to everybody. Housing rental assistance is still in full effect, and Corey's very busy, and the Metro State interns are going to be helping a lot more with answering phone calls for him and getting appointments booked. But yeah, we definitely operate as a team and a collective, and definitely lean on our community partners as well.
Well, I just want to say a big peeny gee for having you come on and speaking of what's happening and how much you support, and Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center it supports the community. It's just an amazing organization. It's been around over 40 years, and I just want to say a big peeny gee for you coming on, Ruth, as always.
No problem. Thanks for having us. It's good to see you both.
Right on.
Good to see you, Ruth.
Wow, they're just amazing. Again, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Wendy, she's been coming on for years.
Yeah, you know what? The community is so lucky to have such a great organization that has so many resources in so many different aspects. I mean, you could go to the dentist, get dental work. You could get a ride to your AA or NA meeting.
Hey,
you could, you know, go into the food shelf and get some non-perishable food and, you know, donate, getting clothes. And yeah, I mean, it's amazing.
Well, Wendy, you got a guest coming up here in less than a minute.
I'm really excited.
Breaking in less than a minute, I should say.
We're
going to
break in a minute. We're going to have my Minnesota State Director for Humane World for Animals, formerly known as the Humane Society of the United States, Aaron Zellhofer. And we're going to be talking about a really important, dangerous legislation that's coming up tomorrow in the vote. It's called Save Our Bacon Act. And Aaron's going to tell us all about it.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please
stay with us.
Oh, stay with us. Oh.
Programming on KFAI comes in part from the Dakota, presenting the Joanne Parker Band Saturday, August 8th. Singer-songwriter Joanne Parker and her band are touring with their latest release, Lifelines. Blending rock, soul, roots, and R&B, the Joanne Parker Band offers honesty over polish, delivering songs that are intentional, authentic, and personal. More information about the Joanne Parker Band live at the Dakota is available at dakotacooks.com.
Hi, it's Dr. Evan Adams, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. Hey, Victor, you better be listening.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our wolf and bear populations throughout Turtle Island. Say no to the hunts.
Oh! Oh.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio. Take it away, Wen.
Hey, I'm so excited. I have my Minnesota State Director for Humane World for Animals here with me. His name is Aaron Zellhofer, and we're going to be talking about dangerous legislation, Save Our Bacon Act. And Aaron, I just want you, you are the expert. I want you to tell everyone what this bill is, what it can do, and what people can do to help. Thank you.
Hey.
By the way, I really appreciate it on such short notice.
Well, thank you so much, Robert, and thank you so much, Wendy. I really appreciate you having me on today. This is a really critical day with this piece of legislation. This will be coming up for a vote tomorrow in the Senate Agricultural Committee, and I'll get to that in a second. But I'll just talk a little bit more at first just about what this legislation really is about, and more importantly, what it would overrule if it was to move forward. I'm sure everybody has heard about Proposition 12 or Question 3 in Massachusetts, but if you hadn't, I'll explain what that is in a second. Both the voters in both Massachusetts and in California really were able to vote on a question of should animals that are raised in agricultural settings, particularly farmed animals, be exposed to extreme confinements. And both the voters in California and Massachusetts said, we don't want any animal raised in our state to come from extreme confinement. And more importantly, California said, not only do we want this for our state, we want any product that is sold into our state not to come from these measures of extreme animal confinement. And not only did the voters uphold this then ballot initiative that turned into law, this was challenged and brought to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court upheld the will of the voters on this issue. So tomorrow, this has been a long road with all of this. Unfortunately, on the House side of things, the House Farm Bill included language that includes the Save Our Bacon Act, which would override what California and Massachusetts has done. Not only California and Massachusetts, but there's been 15 states around the country that have some sort of farm animal protection written into its laws. So tomorrow, what we are hearing at the Capitol is that they will be voting on this at the markup at the Senate Agricultural Committee, We believe that Joni Ernst is going to introduce an amendment. We don't know what the amendment is going to say, but we are pretty sure that this is going to deal with Sarah Bacon, and what she does tomorrow is kind of anybody's guess at this point. But what we have been asking people to do is to contact their senators. Yes, it's important here in Minnesota. Senator Klobuchar and Senator Smith both sit on the Agricultural Committee. But also there is senators throughout the country that sit on this committee. There is 21 senators on this committee. And if you have not contacted them, please contact them on this issue. We can't go back to a time when extreme confinement is the law of the land for farmed animals. And let me just say a little bit more about what that looks like. This allows chickens raised for eggs to stand up, turn around, spread their wings. This allows for pigs that are raised to not be confined to gestation crates. Allows them to stand up, move around, and more importantly, not eat and poop all in the same location. So that is what is at stake tomorrow. There's a couple other things that I'll just want to briefly address as well. This is a significant matter for state rights. Here in Minnesota, there's about 30 laws that we have done that are very wonderful laws that says if we have a product coming into our state from out of state, this precedent with Save Our Bacon would really put that at risk. And I'll give you one small example of that. If you're a geek like myself and have really looked into Minnesota laws, you will know that Minnesota Statute 17.4986 deals with how fish are sold in Minnesota. So any fish that are sold out of state that is coming into state in the state of Minnesota has to be tested for toxins and making sure that the fish is safe for consumption. Now, if we allow this Save Our Bacon Act where it's, you know, overriding what the state is asking to be done for a product coming into the state, that is also at risk. One other thing that is at risk is small family farmers. There are several small family farmers, some of whom I've spoken with here in Minnesota, that have done the right thing and said, we don't want to raise our animals in extreme confinement. They have created a market where they are successfully selling to states like California and Massachusetts. Now, if Big Ag, who really does not like this, gets their way with us, that would hurt these small Minnesota family farmers that are doing the right thing in this situation.
I really appreciate you coming on and explaining all this. You know, for me myself, if I ate animals, I would not want them to come from extreme confinement. I think that that's just so inhumane. Everybody, yeah, please call your senators and ask them to oppose the Save Your Bacon Act or any wording that will take away these protections to these animals.
Very well said. Yeah, and you know, I think the thing about that, Wendy, is what you said is, you know, this is really a coalition of a lot of people on, you know, all over the spectrum when it comes to animal welfare, you know, from people like yourself, who is an advocate, who works, who's a policy volunteer with Humane World for Animals, to, you know, people in the business of this. We all see extreme confinement as a very bad thing for farm animals. You know, that it's really not there. You know, it's something that we have learned is the Senate Ag Chair Bozeman. He's indicated to reporters that there simply aren't any Democrats willing to support Save Our Bacon Act, which is an amazing thing to think of how far, you know, farm animal protection has come in the recent years. You know, one of the latest statistics that I saw was from USDA, and it said that roughly 44% of the chickens that are being raised in this country do not come from battery cages. That is a huge win for the direction of farm animal protection, and it would be horrible to just see a huge setback on all of this.
It really would be a very bad setback. It really would. So, yes, I've made my calls to Amy Klobuchar and Tina Smith, also emailed them. And I talked to their legislative assistants today. Of course, they couldn't give me any information on how they're going to vote. But they did say that they're getting a lot of phone calls where people are asking the constituents are calling and saying, please oppose this dangerous legislation. So I was glad.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Did